Everybody, and welcome to Gateway Church on June the 9th, 2019. Thank you, Cheryl, for reading Scripture. Doesn't she read Scripture beautiful? And she really does, and she takes you right into the story. You know, you could download those dramatized versions of the Bible, and, you know, with music, they could use her for that, you know, so taking you through it with that music playing in the background, you know, like, wouldn't she be perfect for that? And then to testify, I didn't remember that you were baptized in the Holy Spirit last year on Pentecost Sunday. So that's pretty powerful testimony as well. You know, how many of you remember a time when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit? You know, and it's like, you know, and I got to tell you something. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make you less a person. And sometimes in Pentecostal circles, it's like we have strived to try and get this, like as if this is the badge that once you get it, you arrive. I'm so glad that thinking is not around anymore. But you know what? It is a gift of that comes from the Lord, and as we will learn this morning, why? And so, thank you for coming to the service this morning. Today is a special day. It's a very special day. For me, because I grew up not even knowing, I never even heard the word Pentecost, I never heard the word Pentecostal, and the Lord had a different idea, and today I'm a bushfire out of control for Holy Ghost, and I don't apologize for that. And I don't apologize for that. Interesting that the attractional church in the last 20 years has been the church that has attracted most of the people. You know what the attractional church is? The attractional church, and all of us have tried to compete with that by getting better sound equipment and lights and all of this kind of thing. And it attracted thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But there's been a shift, at least in North America, maybe not in Canada, where that has kind of come to an end. Not that it was bad, but guess what people are gravitating towards once again? Pentecostal charismatic, okay? And it's the fastest growing in the world. Because what happens is when you are crashing and burning, you need Holy Spirit, you know? Like, you need the Lord. I'm not criticizing it, okay? If I went to a concert and they had a smoke machine and everything and the effects, I love it all. But at the end of the day, that's not what's going to get me through. It's going to be Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Right. And so, like, we do that, and when that gets into your spirit, so there's a day coming, and I never give up hope. There's a day coming where I still believe that there's going to be a revival in North Bay, and I'll tell you why. Because on Wednesday night, here in the church, in the prayer room, we're running out of room, there were 18 of us that were praying. The week before, there were 16 in the room. And this particular Wednesday night, there was a fellow that was here, and his testimony is horrific. And I think what it was, if Ty helped me, where's Ty? Was he burned? So as a young child, I think, he was burned by his mother. And so he doesn't have hands. He has, and I think, and no legs as well. And he was in the room, and we prayed, and he shared, and he says, "Can I speak?" And we were talking about the things that we have, where we need to forgive. Where we're holding things where we haven't forgiven, and he said, "Can I speak?" And he did, and he told the testimony of what had happened to him, and it was a very, very powerful moment, and every single person in the room was there, and I haven't seen that since the day I got saved, when Nello, in our church in Brampton, where we would be in the prayer room before the service on a Sunday morning. I think he's from Jamaica or something, I'm not sure, but anyways, And he would be walking back and forth, and he would declare over the prayer room that was full. He says, this morning there are going to be four salvations in the house. So this was at 8:30, we would meet, then they had Sunday school, then they had the worship practice, and the service was at 11 o'clock. And Linda and I went to every one of them. And we went to Sunday school, and then we watched the worship practice, and then we did the service. So it was like two worship services on a Sunday morning. It was amazing. So all of a sudden, what would happen is, we're sitting in the service, and we're pretty new Christians. We're sitting in the service, and all of a sudden, the pastor would say, I think that there's four people that need to come to the front right now and give your heart to the Lord. And four people would stand up, and they would walk to the front. Okay, and that's supernatural. Okay, that is supernatural, and I saw that. And the same spirit that I sensed and the longing that I have in my heart to see the Lord move and transform lives, I'm sensing that in the prayer ministry in the church. And it's just like, God, we do everything so that He will get the glory. Okay? In that prayer room, nobody interrupts somebody. Everyone has a right to speak and share and everything. We go by this motto, don't tell me how, help me be. And help me be better in the presence of God. Don't tell me how to do it. And the Spirit of God is pleased. And I really sense that. So you know me. If you've been here for any long length of time, I don't hype things up for the sake of hyping things up. But one thing I know is I know the voice of the Spirit. And when the voice of the Spirit is speaking, I'm going to proclaim that this voice of the Spirit is. And I don't know what about that young man, but I'll tell you one thing. Holy Spirit did some surgery in that young man's heart. Okay. Raymond came into the prayer room, can I share, about a year ago, and comes in on a Wednesday night. We're all happy because we're all praying. Say, Lord, make this us, you've heard this prayer how many times, Lord, make this church a lighthouse on a hill. So that, you know, we've all prayed that in every one of our churches that we've gone to. Well, that night this was a lighthouse on a hill, and this guy walks in, he gives his heart to the Lord, he just graduated from Canador, and he got employment at Community Living. So, you know what? Great, yeah. Raymond. And I turned around, and I just saw you worshiping God. You know what? No, don't ever stop, because He is the answer. Amen? So the basic thing that we need to do is, like, when people come in, and they're maybe broken like Emmett, or maybe like Raymond was when he came in here, and what happens is, we have to meet people's basic needs, okay? Like, we have to be able to put a cup of coffee in their hand and listen to their, before we right away inundate people with Jesus. So do you know what this Christian celebration of Pentecost is all about? How many of you are not 100% sure? You just need a refresh? Anyone here? No, you just need a refresh? Okay, I'm going to give it to you then. This Sunday, across the world, and you know what? There's not just hundreds of Christians, there's billions. And there's billions of Christians. We belong to a global family of followers, and it's incredible. In liturgical churches, Roman Catholic churches, Anglican, Lutheran, Eastern Orthodox, Pentecostal, Charismatic, and in all the other Protestant denominations and churches as well, Pentecost is the birth of the church, right? It's the birth of the Christian church as we know it, Pentecost. So today is Pentecostal Sunday. So what is Pentecost, you might ask? Well, for Christians, Pentecost is a day on which we commemorate the coming of the Holy Spirit on the early followers, as Cheryl read for us in the scripture. And so as the Holy Spirit came upon them, that was also the birth of the church. Before the events of the first Pentecost, which came a few weeks after Jesus' death and resurrection, there were followers of Jesus. There were definitely followers of Jesus, but no movement could be meaningfully called the church until after that. So what does Pentecost mean anyways? Well, the English word Pentecost is a transliteration of the Greek word Pentecostes. Now, we didn't invent that word, Christians. We kind of borrowed it from the Jews, okay, which means 50. And the Greek-speaking Jews used the phrase to refer to a Jewish holiday, and the holiday was known as the Festival of Weeks, or more simply, Weeks. And the name comes from the expression in the book of Leviticus in chapter 23 and verse 16, which instructs the people to count 7 weeks or 50 days from the end of the Passover to the beginning of the next holiday. Okay, so you got that down? And this day became especially significant for Christians because 7 weeks after the resurrection of Jesus, during the Jewish festival of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the first believers. So we count 50 days from that to arrive at today, that this is the day of Pentecost, and we have celebrated this for I don't know how long, and it's the day of Pentecost, because this is the day that the church was founded. This was the day that Joel spoke about, where the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, and it's an exciting, exciting time. It's as important today as it ever was, more important today, because we look at the world around us, and you know, I don't know if the world's getting worse, but you know what? It's certainly not getting better. And it wasn't good then. You know, two by two, they went out. And they would walk by and, oh, I've seen things like in the book of Acts, you know. We always pray, oh, Lord, we need a revival like they had in the book of Acts. I've seen it. I've seen people healed. Have you seen people healed? I've seen people healed of cancer. I've led hundreds of people to the Lord. I wish they were all still in church. That's the greatest miracle you could ever see. You walking into a prayer room on a Wednesday night and recommitting your life to the Lord. It wasn't a regular church service. We think everything is a church service. But here is this guy walks in, sits down. Linda says to you, Linda, you must have said you're seeking or something. Linda walks in to the room. She whispers in my ear, "He's seeking." Oh man, just tell me that. It's like, buddy, you're not getting out of here tonight, okay? You're seeking, we got your number. Okay? You didn't know that, eh? That was a setup. Me and my wife, we don't always have to talk. We have a language. We have eyes, body language. All she has to do is go, and where? Okay, girl, thank you. Got his number. Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? You know what? Linda and I, we've been married a long time now. And I've never told you. Some of you kind of guess how long we've been married and dating. Do you want me to tell you?
Sure. No.
Okay. I'm going to tell you. First time ever. I've never done this because I feel 25 years old. I really do. Yesterday morning I got up, probably from here to where Randy is this wide. I removed sods, and before Linda got back from the nursery, they were all lifted and bagged and everything. It took me like half an hour. So I met Linda. My first date with Linda was on November the 17th, 1979. And yes, I remember. And I never forgot that date. Okay? Because Linda's that important. Right? And we dated for a year and a half. And on March 21st, 1981, we got married. So that means we're married 38 years. And with dating, we've been going together for 40 years. Okay? No one ever knew that. But you know what? I'm an old guy now. So Melissa,
no.
Melissa, Dave, I was Linda and I were dating before you were born. Okay. And now we get to hang around with you guys and fun. So you know what? We've been together a long time. And the majority of that has been walking as brothers and sisters and wife and husband and best friends in the Lord, right? And not only do we pray for this congregation on Wednesday night, but when we get together in the office here on a Tuesday morning for our staff meeting, we pray, okay? And we pray for healthy relationships and healthy marriages, and we pray for that people will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, how many of you knew that we were married that long? You kind of guessed it, but you weren't sure. You all knew? It's a long time, eh?
How old is Linda
then? I'm not telling you that. Randy, I've known you, Randy, for so long. Do you think that I actually catch on? Do you think I get sucked into those loaded questions that you throw at me every so often? I'm wise to him now. How many of you are wise to Randy by now, you know? So what actually happened on the day of Pentecost? Well, this event was recorded in the New Testament book known as the Book of the Apostles, which we just read. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound of a blowing violent wind came, and you know the story. So the content of this miraculous message had to do with God's almighty works. It's about God's almighty works, and there were almighty works that came. It was a visitation from glory, and so many heard messages in their own tongues. Now, you know what? I got to tell you something. In our home church in Brampton Pentecostal Church, we were there. And how many of you have been in a church where the first time you ever heard a message in tongues and an interpretation, your eyes were like bulging over, like, what is going on here? Like, what's going on here with these people? So anyways, we hear this message in tongues. And like, our church was about 650 people. We met in a school. So it's quite a few people in a building, in a school auditorium. And so I think they only held 700. So it was pretty full. So I hear this message over here. I don't know, message in tongues. And then over in the back, over there, there was an interpretation. At the end of the service, there was a couple that were from China, and they went to the person who gave the message in tongues, and they said, "Did you know that the message in tongues that you gave was in perfect Mandarin?" So, you know, so we hear messages, and sometimes it's like, you know, you go to Swiss Chalet, I don't know who goes there anymore, but anyways, after lunch, and say, oh yeah, there was a message in tongues and an interpretation in the church. But it's still significant. Yes. We can't make light of that. We can't ever take it for granted. Like, someone gets saved in a service, like it's like, oh yeah, I think God's moving. Someone got saved at our church. No, it's the miraculous. It's the miraculous. There's nothing like someone giving their heart to the Lord. Okay, who would have ever thought in a million years that when Linda and I were 25 and 26 years old, we realized that the cycle of life we were in, and we were white collar workers in Toronto. I worked for Texaco Canada, Linda, and all of a sudden, I came home one day, I called Linda, and I said, get on the GO train, come home. She came home, and I said to her, I said, I'm never going to drink another day in my life. And so things weren't terrible or anything like this, but we wanted to break a cycle. We didn't want that cycle to continue in our family. So we did. And then what happens is we got saved together, we went to Bible college together, we graduated together, we've pastored together, I've served on district executive. As soon as I'm finished my term, Linda gets elected onto district executive. These are things of God. Yeah. These are things of God. God still moves today, folks. He really does. And at some point, Peter, one of the leading followers of Jesus, he stood up and he preached his first message. We know what Peter was like before that, and then we knew what he was like after. And I don't like when people criticize him, because you know what? If they're criticizing him, they could easily just as criticize me. But he stood up and he interpreted the events of what took place that morning in light of the prophecy of the book of Joel, where it said that God would just pour out his spirit on all flesh, empowering diverse people to exercise divine power. And he went on to explain that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and God was going to pour out his spirit, and that they would be forgiven and they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And about 3,000 that day were added to the church. Not bad for someone's first message, amen? Amen. Not bad for someone's first message, amen? And so how is Pentecost related to Pentecostal Christians? Well, Pentecostal Christians, as we are, have had a powerful experience of God's presence. Yes. There was a day when I kind of shied away and everything like this and say, well, it doesn't matter what your name of your denomination is, whether you're Catholic, Anglican, or stuff like this. So all of a sudden, Pentecostal churches started taking out the word Pentecostal, and they'd call themselves Community Church and stuff like this. Well, our church still says Gateway Pentecostal Church. And you know what? If people think we're weird, well, we are weird, because we speak in tongues, and we, you know what? We're a holiness people. We run counterculture. And I don't apologize for that. Okay? I don't apologize for that. And so what happens is Pentecostal Christianity used to be the smallest segment of the Protestant church. You know, but today it has spread through the world, and it's the fastest growing form of Christianity. Do you know that? And that's awesome. Because if you hold true, Peter, if you hold true and you walk in that, there are going to be people that are going to separate themselves from you, because you know what? Sin and holiness can't hang together. But what happens is the Spirit is still moving. I don't know what got you to walk in the church here on a Wednesday night. I don't know what conviction was going on in your heart. But you know what? I wish that would repeat itself every week with somebody, right? Amen? And so Pentecostal used to be the smallest segment. So the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, 7 weeks after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit poured out upon believers. And Christians are meant to live in the presence and in the power of the Spirit of God. Amen? Yeah. Amen? We are meant to live in that. So it's not my job here this morning to convince you that you need to do it. We're meant to live in that. So if you are a follower of Christ, you were meant to walk in and live in the person of the Holy Spirit. You're meant to do that. You were created to do that. We were all created to do that. So the Holy Spirit helps us confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen? Okay. Empowers us to serve God with supernatural power. Amen? How many of you realize that there's supernatural power in you? Okay? Like, do you know that? Do you know that? Are you confident of that? There's supernatural power. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is supernatural power in there. It binds us together as the body of Christ. Right? It binds us together as the body of Christ. It helps us pray. It helps us intercede for us with the Father. The Spirit guides us, helping us to live like Jesus, like Jesus. I can't live like Jesus. Okay? I can't take a list of do's and don'ts and live like Jesus. But the Spirit of the living God could reveal to me how Jesus thinks, and I could kind of copy what he thinks. I can go, man, this is really, really bad when I'm thinking. This is very, very negative. I better put on my What Would Jesus Do bracelet in my prayer room. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the living God starts to reveal. You know what, folks? I got to be honest with you. I hear a lot of Christians whose default is negative. And if you were to say to them, that is not of God, you'd empty out the church. They would take offense. Okay? They'd take offense for bad behavior. They take offense for everything. And then when it's the right time to worship because we went like this, isn't it amazing that we hear? Isn't it amazing we hear this better work? Watch me. You know what? You're such an idiot. Okay? Isn't it funny the way the music starts and we're in the presence of God and then we could just turn around and say, oh, you're such an idiot. Okay? Did you see this? Man, I go to work and like everything where I work, it's just awful. There's never a... So you would say to someone, you'd say, you know what? I don't believe what's coming out of your mouth is ordained by God. Because God wouldn't allow that to come. And there's, oh, I'm offended. Pentecost presents us with the opportunity to consider how we are living each and every day. Amen? Are we relying on the power of God's Spirit? Are we open channel to God's gift? Are we? We're not doing anything weird or anything special on a Wednesday night at prayer ministry, are we, Doreen? What we're doing is we're being honest and we need Him. We need Him. There's no one in the room who is super prophet telling us all how to do it. We're just waiting on the Lord, just like they did in the book of Acts. Because you know what? I don't have all the solutions, but I know the person who has the solutions. Amen? Are we attentive to the guidance of the Holy Spirit as a church? Is the fruit of the Spirit love, joy, peace growing in our lives? Is it thriving in our church? Is there a respect? Or is there an honor? Is there a value system? One of the last things that the disciples did was, before Jesus was arrested, they had the Last Supper with Him, and He gave them all the instructions, and He says, wait. And the word wait has captured my attention. Wait means that to remain in readiness or expectation. And I get it, okay? I get it. I promise you, I get it. I'm not up here. I'm not a phony guy. And I know that for many of you, for many, many years, the imminent return of Jesus is going to happen any time now. And you know, you heard that 50 years ago, and you heard that 40 years, and 30 years, and 20 years, 10 years, and you hear it today, that the imminent return of Christ could happen at any given time. And it's just like, when? You know, and we become numb to it. I'm telling you, it could just be like that. Okay? And so wait means to be in readiness, to be in expectation. So I'm in readiness and expectation so if someone needs to be healed right this very moment, we need to be ready. We need to be expected of it, expected to believe that. And in the book of Acts here, they were finally putting it all together. They weren't sitting around saying, well, I don't like the style of that church, or I don't like this theology, or I don't like everything. They were putting it all together. They had seen the glory of God, and they knew they must wait for the Holy Spirit. And the disciples were commanded to remain in Jerusalem and receive and witness the birth of the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? And they did not leave Jerusalem, but they waited for the gift. And John baptized with water, but in a few days they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And in the days they would receive the power that came from high, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were under the influence so completely that they received, that they began to speak in unknown tongues. They would receive power to do miracles of healing. They would receive power to endure persecution and resist evil and everything. And you know what? Sometimes what we do is we walk in this thing. Oh, there's always persecution. There's always persecution. Yes, there's persecution, but there's blessings. Yeah. Walk in the blessings. Walk in the blessings. Walk in the glory. Walk in the anointing. Walk in the grace of who He is. It's not always because you're being persecuted and Holy Spirit has to come and coddle you and make you all better. There's also a blessing to walk in it, to walk in the victory. Okay, you're men and women of God. Okay? Like it's time to pull up our socks and to walk in confidence of who we are. To walk in to say, I am a child, not to be obnoxious. I am a child of the King. I walk into a situation, and Bill and Liz will tell you, okay, because we've been out a couple of times in the last week. When I walk into a place, in my spirit, I'm a child of the King, and I deserve to be here. And guess what? Everyone around that place was around us, weren't they? Because you walk in it, because you're not obnoxious, you're not trying to do. But when you walk in that, when I walk into a restaurant, I own that joint. Okay? Okay? I walk in it, I do. Okay? I own it. Amen. I'm the owner of that place because the Lord is in me and I walk in. And you know what? I'm telling you right now, some people, they freak out when they're with me. But I'm telling you, when you walk to someone who you don't know, and you listen for a second, and you say to someone like this, you know, I've been listening to our conversation for a couple of minutes, and you know what? I can tell you're a really nice person. And you know what happens? They never told me to shut up and get out of there. You're weird. They always smile, and they always say thank you. And that's the beginning of a relationship. Okay? And then there's a point where it came. So we were in the restaurant on Friday, and guess what? There were people in the restaurant who their little child was asking their mother about wanting to go to church. And so they were in the restaurant that day, and the mother brought over the child to introduce the child to, the mother doesn't go to church either, but the kid wants to go, came over to introduce the child to Linda and I to say, this will be the church that you will go to if you would like to, okay? And so you know what? Why? Okay? We're all looking for signs and wonders. And that's a sign and a wonder. Okay? That's right. That, man, you take to the bank. That's a deposit, okay? That's part of your testimony. So Annette here, this is Annette, by the way. Say hi, Annette. Annette said, we should have testimony time sometime. And everyone said, well, I don't mean the testimony. Well, did you talk to anyone in a restaurant? Yeah. When you walk down Main Street, are you all freaked out because there's methadone clinics? Or are you the owner of Main Street? Well, I walk down, I'm the owner of Main Street. Right? Not cocky, not rude, always with grace. Okay, I'm way off track here. The disciples were going to testify about Jesus in Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria to the ends of the earth. So there you have it. God started the church, and the world has never been the same. How many of you this morning you can say that when you invited Jesus into your life, your world has never been the same? Okay, it's never been the same, has it? Richard, has your life been the same? When you really made a deeper commitment to the Lord, you're a perfect person to testify if we have a testimony time, you know? And others are. So why? Because God wants the church to stand for truth and to be unshakable in our presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, this is not, like, you know what I don't understand? Folks, help me here a second, okay? This is not a place of do's and don'ts. Okay, like, there's more freedom in this place here, like, you know, like, you know, I've had someone, I've had a couple of people over the years say, oh, you're very controlling. I said, like, there's more freedom in this place than anywhere you're going to, like, seriously, like, come on. Like, you know what? And so we are not a people of rules and do's and don'ts. This is freedom. So when I was part of the world, that was not freedom. I had all sorts of rules. Oh, okay, I'm going to get my expense account on this day, and that means that I can do this bad thing, and then I can do this. And I had all these rules of all the bad things that I can do all lined up. Like, where's, you know what I'm talking about. Where's the freedom in that? There's no freedom in that. I don't even think about that anymore. You know, so why? Because God wants the church. The purpose of the church has always been to communicate the message of love. And the power of the Holy Spirit is needed today. You need the Holy Spirit today. You need the, you know, it's, you may think that, well, okay, he was off script, but a lot of things he said was good, and that was really good. But tomorrow morning when you wake up, you need the Holy Spirit. So this is not your fix until you get here next Sunday or you get to the prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. You need Holy Spirit. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God. Did you hear me? The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit. Like, think about that. Man, if I'm telling you, if Hydro could get some of this power, right? Like, so the power of the Holy Spirit is necessary. So I'm not going to ask the worship team to come this morning, but you know, the human body, I'll close on this, is a most remarkable machine, right? It can maintain a temperature of 98.6 degrees. What's that in? 37? Thank you. That's exactly how old I feel. So no matter what the weather outside is, the body can maintain 37 or 98.6 degrees. Whether a person is in the Arctic Circle or whether they're at the equator or wherever it is, there is an inner mechanism that makes the difference. Amen? And for the Christian, the Holy Spirit is that inner mechanism that makes the difference in this world. And we need the Holy Spirit, we as a church, because we need to be transformed so that others will be transformed. So why was there a symbol of fire when they received the Holy Spirit? It's because fire is a symbol of transformation. Fire changes whatever it touches. And so we need the fire of the Holy Spirit once again to come upon us. Because how many of you here this morning that would be honest enough with me to say that even today you had some stinking thinking? Okay? Okay? No, really, like how many of you today would admit that you had some stinking thinking? You know? And so, like, you know, so now if you could say, yeah, I had some stinking thinking, and justify that and say, well, maybe I won't do it today, but you know what? That's a blockage. See? That's a blockage. I don't want to have stinking thinking. That's a hard word to say. Say it with me. Stinking thinking. Say it three times. Stinking thinking. But that's only one thing. Okay? So let me ask you a question. Close your eyes for a second. Would you say, in light of what I spoke this morning, that there are things in your life that are hindering you from walking in the Spirit? Would you put up your hands and show me? I'm not going to ask you what it is. Thank you. 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 Okay, let's stand together. going to ask Ty to come on up here for a minute. Sorry, Ty. I'm really proud of Ty because on Friday evening, Ty and Laura, this guy's a revivalist. Okay, in the truest sense. I was at the back and I'm watching. I think there were about 75 people, maybe 50, 75 people. And I watched him. He's a revivalist. And then I heard a story this morning about you at Overflow. And it was all going on in Overflow. And someone looked back, and they saw your face just buried in prayer. And it really spoke to their hearts. I heard that about you this morning. So I want you to pray. And you heard, and you, I don't know if you had your eyes closed or you looked, but you saw the multitude of hands. And so I want you to pray into that and give some blessings over that as well.
Yes, Lord.
So Father, we thank you, God, for this day. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to come and gather in your house, God. And Holy Spirit, we pray, Father, that you saw the hands. You saw the hands of your people, God. You saw the hands of your people who are crying out for change, who are crying out for more of you, God, who are crying out for new mindsets, new attitudes, God. So, Father, we're believing for that right now. Lord Jesus, we're believing for that right now, God, that we celebrated it on Friday night, God, but that, Jesus, you are the one who changes everything. So, God, when we involve you, when we include you, when we build our life upon you, God, you change everything about us. You change everything inside of us, God. So, Father, I pray right now, God, that those people who had their hands raised, God, would just know and understand that the Holy Spirit who dwells within them, that the Holy Spirit who lives inside them, God, would just come and set them free, Lord God. That he would just come and set them free, Lord God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our comforter, for being our friend, for being God within us. Father, for giving us the opportunities to experience and encounter Jesus, God. We thank you for this Pentecost Sunday, God, and we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be honored and glorified in everything that we do. That you would be lifted high and exalted and celebrated, God, on more than just Sundays, Father. We're asking for you to be seated high in our life every day of the week. God, we thank you for this morning, and we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, let's celebrate it. Amen, amen, amen.